Life. That's kind of what the title ended up being for this morning. Last week we talked about who the Holy Spirit is and kind of one of his roles. We talked about a little bit on sealing us. He is that one that seals us unto God. And this week we're going to get more into what he does, what he actually does in our in a believer's life. But let's start with some prayer this morning. Father, we are lifting up the King of Kings. We're lifting up Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. Father, our Master, the one that we have yielded ourselves to, we have called upon the name of Jesus, believing on you, believing that you have a plan through him, and part of that was sending us your Spirit, Father, your Holy Spirit. So this morning as we press in, I pray that, Father, we gain an understanding of what the Holy Spirit does in our life, that it challenges us and changes us, Father, so that as we leave, we're a little bit different than when we came in, that we have a greater understanding of you, and our faith towards you has been built up, strengthened, even solidified, made more concrete that we know what we know and that we're not going to be moved off of the rock named Jesus. Father, we're praising you for it. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit do? Okay, the Holy Spirit came with power. Okay, he came with a purpose. Okay, and part of that power and part of that purpose is being used to accomplish the purposes of God in our life. Okay, we talked last week about how the Lord Jesus gave us a commission. Okay, a lot of people call it the Great Commission, right? We go into all the world and preach the gospel, but we're going in and we're baptizing all. Let me just read it. We talked last week about he gave us a commission to make disciples of all nations. Okay, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, to be baptized, or like that commission to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, okay, to be baptized in literally means to be dipped, okay, or to be immersed. Okay, you think of dunking somebody, right? We do a baptism out in the river every year and we fully immerse under the water when we come up. That is part of that word of baptizing. Okay, it means that you're not just standing in the kiddie pool, right? You went out to the end of the diving board and jumped in, right? 6 feet over your head, you're in all the way. Okay, that is part of being baptized or being immersed, fully immersed into the Lord Jesus or into the Holy Spirit. With that train of thought, you're not just splashing a little God on your life. Okay, this is where, you know, I hate to say it, but Christianity sometimes has gotten kind of weak in that sense, where we just want to splash a little God on us when we feel like we need it, but not really jump in, right? Maybe we're standing in the kiddie pool. You ever see the moms have the kids in the kiddie pool? Sometimes dads, I did it too. Okay, but they have the kids in the kiddie pool and the mom stands in there and splashes water on herself because she's hot, because it's like 90 degrees out. Okay, so we don't want to do that with God. Okay, we want to know that as a believer, you haven't just splashed a little God on your life, but you've actually dove in. Okay, you've actually made Jesus the Lord of your life. Okay, our life and our life's challenges is not just to be baptized, okay, but it is to become a baptizer. In other words, somebody that then not just makes disciples, but you make disciple makers, right? We're taking it that next step. So our full goal in life is to go beyond just being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but we want to help other people to become fully immersed in them as well. That's why we continue to grow. Okay, that's why we fellowship with one another in church, in ministry. We're bouncing things off each other. We're growing. We're learning from one another. I know in Christianity, we talk a lot about serving God. Okay, we talk about becoming more like Jesus, but it seems like the Holy Spirit sometimes gets that back burner, right? He's still on the stove. We know Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right? But the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost gets kind of put in the back. And maybe it's because he is not as well understood as God and Jesus. Okay, that's where this series comes in. I want you to fully know who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. It'll transform your life. Okay, sometimes people maybe don't speak so much about the Holy Spirit because he's a little more mysterious, right? I mean, after all, he's a spirit, right? Okay, Holy Spirit, God is too, but sometimes we tend to think of Him as a little more mysterious. And in other cases, I think the Holy Spirit is kind of avoided because of what He brings to the table. Okay? The Holy Spirit brings power to the table. Okay? He brings something that is pretty phenomenal. He is what I call a get-her-done agent of the Godhead. Okay? He's the get-her-done guy. Remember, I think even last week we talked when God said, "Let there be light." The Spirit that was hovering over the face of the deep made light. Okay? He's the get-her-done guy. He's the one that puts things in motion. Okay, and I think that that kind of get-her-done power is something that scares people. Okay, they're kind of afraid of what is He going to get done in my life if I truly immerse myself in Him and let Him do what He wants to do. And I think that's especially probably scary to some who are wanting to maybe live one life with one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world. Okay, trying to do the best of both worlds. They kind of avoid Holy Spirit because, you know, He might do something in my life that changes the way that I like to live it. Okay, the Holy Spirit can and does bring about change in a person's life. Okay, He is the transformer. He is the changer. Okay, I don't think you can be baptized or fully immersed in the Holy Ghost and still be the same as you once were. Okay, and if you are, okay, kind of the same as you once were, you're either resisting the Holy Ghost, okay, or denying His power, saying that that's not Him, okay, that I don't need that. Okay, you cannot be. Well, let me say this. If you're resisting or denying the Holy Spirit, that is part of where, I guess in Ephesians we read last week, where the Bible says that you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I think that's where we're kind of putting Him off, kind of not acknowledging Him. Okay, we read a verse last week, Ephesians chapter 4, that told us to grieve not the Holy Spirit. It's Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Okay, we don't want to grieve Him, and I'll explain that. Imagine having this massive amount of life-changing, body-healing, all-knowing, guiding power that is available to you, and yet you're living your life acting like it's not even there. Okay, it's like, I don't know, it's the difference between driving a little two-cylinder moped and a, you know, V8 Hemi, right? There's a big difference, but if you drive that moped, well, let me flip that around. If you drive your Hemi like it's a little moped, okay, you're not utilizing it for what it is. You're still maybe able to get from A to B. Okay, I don't think you'd go out on the interstate, but you can still get from A to B, but you're not utilizing the power that is available to you. Okay, rather than walking in divine health, okay, rather than seeing an evil circumstance or situation from a distance so that you don't get involved in it, so that you know enough ahead of time that you don't get yourself caught up in it, or rather than accomplishing God's perfect will in a situation, you just forge ahead right into sickness and calamity like it was your only option. Okay? The whole time, the Holy Spirit was clearly speaking to you about what you should or should not do. But you just kind of put your hand up, said, "No, I don't want to hear that right now." Kind of turned up your nose at it, maybe brushed Him off to the side. That is how we grieve the Holy Spirit. He's trying to speak to us. He's got something that He wants to get us into or keep us out of, whatever the case may be. And yet we're saying, "No thanks. I don't want that information." Okay, the Holy Spirit is not the one that, this is going to get pretty strong here for just a few minutes. Bear with me because you need to know this. The Holy Spirit is not one that you want to deny. Okay, He's not one that you want to be found resisting against. Okay, our goal is just the opposite of that. Our goal is to yield to the Holy Ghost, to hear Him, to listen, to acknowledge, to take all that He wants to bring into our life in every situation possible. And I know that because Jesus spoke to us very specifically about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit and its detrimental, powerfully detrimental consequences for somebody. Okay, look at that scripture in Matthew 12, verse 31. Jesus says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." It is the one thing when people ask me how bad their life has been and whatever, if they have never blasphemed the Holy Ghost, I still know that it's a forgivable sin. This is one Jesus himself said, there's one thing. He said, you can even come against him, but don't come against holy. Okay, don't come against Holy Spirit, because that is what some have titled the unforgivable sin. Blasphemy, now bear with me because I need to explain this. I don't want you walking away thinking, oh my God, I blasphemed the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning, I highly, highly, highly doubt it. Okay? Blasphemy is the opposite of praise. Okay? Simply put, blasphemy is the opposite of praise. It means to insult the Spirit of God by directly attacking him or by indirectly mocking him. Okay, either way, the glory and honor of God is lessened. The Holy Spirit is downplayed. Okay, we watched a Christian movie the other night, and I don't even remember the name of it, but it's the same character that was from God's Not Dead, the original one. There was the professor that was the atheist, and he's an atheist in this one too, only he's upped his game, right? It's the same character. Is it Sorbo? Yeah. Kevin Sorbo? Okay, so he had upped his game in this one, and he's up on a stage, I shouldn't tell you the whole movie, but one of the opening scenes is that he's up on a stage literally to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, literally to downplay him and to curse God and to mock God, and his whole motto was, let's party, right? That's his whole side, and so he's speaking to a college crowd, and within a few minutes, he gets the whole crowd in a frenzy that they're on his side. His side's cool. His side's way better than the whole God side. And he just mocks and mocks and mocks God. Okay, now, that guy might be in big trouble, right, at that point, because he is literally mocking God, mocking the Holy Spirit. Okay, under the Old Testament, the pre-Jesus stuff, if somebody were to insult God, okay, by blaspheming, by cursing his name, it was literally punishable by death. That's how serious of an offense coming against the Almighty God was. Idolatry was considered to be the ultimate form of blasphemy because it meant that somebody was offering something that was meant for God unto an idol, okay, unto a false god. Okay, remember, they had lots of sacrificial stuff that they did under the Old Covenant, and they would offer everything from grain and animal and lots of different things that they would offer to God, some of it even gold and things like that, that they would offer to him. Under the Old Covenant, if they were to offer even like a blood sacrifice or something that was meant for God, but if they sacrificed it to someone or something that was not God, it was like a slap in the face to God. Ha ha, this is due unto you, but I'm going to offer it unto Balaam. I'm going to offer it unto this other false god. And it was that sort of that's blasphemy. It was that sort of an idolatry that I'm going to give this object unto someone that is not God. Okay, well, blasphemy means to take credit or honor or something that is due unto God, is due unto Jesus, is due to the Holy Spirit, and then give it to someone else. Okay, so to put that in with the Holy Spirit, to blaspheme the Holy Ghost means that you take credit that is due to the Holy Spirit, okay, is due for some powerful thing that he did in your life. It's due to him for some miraculous thing that he did. It's due to him for an insight into a situation, which I'll explain in a little bit, and it's due unto him for something, but rather than give him the credit for what he did, you apply that to someone or something else, or you take the credit yourself. Okay, when the example would be is when the Spirit prompts you to make a decision, and I guarantee you, he's done everybody in this room, the Holy Spirit, if you've known God, Jesus, Holy Spirit at all, he's active in your life and he's prompting you to do certain things or not do certain things every day. So if he has prompted you to make a decision, okay, to make a choice, and you choose the right thing, you choose this over that, and then you say, well, you know, I just added up all the pros and cons of each one and kind of made a decision, it really wasn't that hard, you're actually taking that prompting. The Holy Spirit showed you which one, and you're just slapping him in the face saying, no, I get the credit for this. I weighed all the options and made the right decision. Okay? You might be thinking that, you know, geez, Pastor Gary, that's pretty serious, because it sounds like we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit all the time for every decision. And if we're not giving the Holy Spirit credit, then we're slapping him in the face. And I guess I'd have to say that you're exactly right. That is what God wants from us. He gave us Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if we don't acknowledge him, if we're not paying attention, we're saying, no, I'm figuring this stuff out all on my own, we're kind of slapping him. Okay, we're saying that we don't need Holy Ghost to help us with our decisions. As a Christian, I am 100% dependent on God. Amen. Okay, it has to be him. Okay, he has to show on what needs to be done. There isn't a major decision in life that I can think of that I haven't gone to him, prayed, got on my knees, whatever it takes, because I got to hear from him. Okay, it's got to be him. That was his plan, is that we seek him and his Spirit will begin to speak to you. God has given you the Holy Spirit and he expects you to utilize him in your life. Okay? You were, hopefully, at some point, if you haven't been, I'd be glad to do it, hopefully you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Okay? You didn't just get saved, okay, by Jesus himself. It was God who gave Jesus, and Jesus sent you the Holy Spirit. It was all three in one, and the plan is that you utilize all three. God sent you, for example, his Son Jesus, but just knowing about Jesus, okay, just acknowledging him wasn't going to get it done. Right? Is that true? Did anybody know about Jesus before you gave your life to Jesus? Okay, that should be a yes probably for everybody, whether you got saved when you were 6 years old or 60. Okay, you knew about God. I knew about God. I went to church every week with my family, every week. We very, very, very seldom miss. It was one of those we could go on Saturday night or Sunday morning, right? So we had an option. Okay, and we never missed. Okay, whether I was hungover or whatever it was, Mom was going to drag me to church, and she did. My brother and I going to church smelling like a brewery. Okay, and she'd make us sit in a pew in front of her, but still, she would drag us to church. Okay? But even at that point, after going to church for years, I believed in Jesus. I even believed the Bible was an account of Jesus, that it described him, that it told about him. But for years, I had never believed on him as my Savior. I had never accepted what he did to the cross was for me personally. Okay, I suppose that's why I'm so adamant about that in these days, because it's not just about knowing him, it's about receiving what he did for you. Okay, and I did that eventually. I was almost 25 years old. I know that God wants to utilize the Holy Spirit in your life. He wants to do more than, you know, Just the basics. He wants to transform you. And that is part of that revelation that I hope that you get from these messages on the Holy Spirit. When you start to allow the Holy Spirit and his power to manifest in your life every day, some of the problems that you thought were so big are going to seem pretty trivial. Holy will show you what to do. Some of the tough decisions that caused you to fret, okay, things that caused you to worry in the past, they're going to come easy because the Holy Spirit's going to show you what to do. So that kind of leads us to the question of, that this message was titled, which is, what does the Holy Spirit do in a believer's life? Okay, and maybe even a better question would be, or a better way to say that would be, what is the Holy Spirit doing in your life that you should be giving Him credit for? Because I guarantee you, He's doing stuff. So what could you be giving Him credit for? What is He already doing, and what is He active with right now? We know that, for one, that He is the one that seals us to God. We talked about that at length last week. Okay, the Holy Spirit's one placed a stamp of approval on you and said, yep, this one is marked for God, sealed unto the day of redemption. Okay, that He is then not just willing to put that stamp on you, but He backs it up, okay, so that He ensures your eternal life. But what else does He do? Okay, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, empowers and transforms people. Okay, that's a simple overall blanket answer. What does the Holy Spirit do? He empowers and transforms people. He is very focused on you. Okay, very focused on what is going on in your life. That's His role. He takes you outside of the natural five senses, right? Taste, touch, smell, hear. Oh, what's the other one? See. Okay? He takes you outside of those five and adds to you, gives to you an ability that is beyond the natural. Okay? It is more than just your own. It is something that is an ability that, I'll call it divine, because that's what it is. Okay? It is a supernatural ability of God, something only God could do or know, but He gave it to you and said, here's My Spirit, so that you can know some of these things, you can do some of these things, you can walk in the supernatural. Okay, at the end of Luke's gospel, you remember Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they wrote these gospels. At the end of Luke's gospel, he quotes the Lord Jesus after He had risen from the dead, okay, He got crucified, got put in a tomb, rose from the dead, meets with the disciples, okay, begins showing that I'm alive after they buried me, all that, I'm still alive, okay, I'm alive again, God raised me from the dead. And at that point, Luke quotes him in Luke 24:49, where Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry ye, or wait, in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Okay? It's a direct reference. He is leading up to this power that is coming. Okay? That promised power is the Holy Spirit. Okay? It was and is the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus was referring to. I know that because Luke is the same guy that wrote the book of Acts. Okay? And in the first part of the book of Acts, he sort of recaps what Jesus said. Okay? Recaps who Jesus is and what He said He was going to send. Okay, and he gives us that in Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 3. He's talking about Jesus. He said, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, you have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In other words, he's telling them, go and wait for the promise that is coming. And then in the next verse, chapter 1, verse 6, it says, and when they were come together, okay, they had gathered 108 people plus the 12 disciples. They say there's about 120 people in His upper room waiting, praying, believing. Okay, it says, and when they were come together, they asked of him saying, they're asking Jesus, said, "Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall then be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Okay, then after they had done what they were supposed to, they went to Jerusalem, they prayed, they got together with all these 108 other people, like the Lord told them to. Luke describes what happens next. The first part of chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit," capital S, "gave them utterance." Okay, the Holy Spirit was unleashed into that room and unto all the believers. That power that Jesus said was going to come on them did just that. He said, "Wait till the power comes on you," and then the power came on them as they waited. It caused things to happen in those believers' lives that were not, quote, normal. Okay? They allowed things to happen through their lives that were not of this world. Okay? In this instance, they were speaking out praises in tongues, in a language that was not their own. Okay, some of them say, if you read up, study up on this, that they might have been speaking in a Samaritan language or in this language or that language. But what happened was that they were doing something that they had no ability to do on their own. I don't know German. I don't know Russian. I don't know some of that. So if I started speaking out and it comes out in pure German language, there's something going on. And that's what was happening in this instance when it talks about the tongues coming out. They were speaking in a language that was not their own, and it was heard by the multitudes of people that had gathered outside of this house, the people that were standing by, and they began to be bewildered about it. Somebody even said, "These guys are drunk. How can they do this stuff?" And they started coming at them. So one of the apostles, named Peter, stands up and explains it to the crowds so that they're going to know that this is simply the Holy Spirit that Jesus said he was going to give them. Okay, this is that promise that Jesus said was going to come upon us. Okay, in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and ye all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay. "But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, when Joel said, It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Holy Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Holy Spirit, that then they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come." Okay, now that last line, if you've been following the Revelation series on Wednesday nights, we know that that's what's happening on the day, right? When Jesus comes, the whole blood, the moon turns red and the mountains crumble and all these things happen. Okay, so that last verse right there tells us the time period in which the Spirit of God will move through our lives with signs and wonders and miracle and prophecy and dreams and visions. It is between that day, the coined the day of Pentecost. It is between that day and the second coming. Between that day and the time that he comes back to gather his bride to himself. Okay? In other words, the era, okay, of our time on earth when the Holy Spirit is actively upon us and in us is right now. Okay? That's why I'm telling you that you should get to know the Holy Spirit, because now's the time. Now is that time between Pentecost and the second coming. This is it. We're in it. We're living it out day by day. So if we're to be baptized and to baptize others in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we probably should figure out the Holy Spirit, get as close to Him, understand Him as much as possible. Okay, the Holy Spirit guides you into the fullness of what God wants for your life. He is fully connected with the Almighty God. He is intimate with the Almighty God. Remember the scenario, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, just like I'm a husband, a father, and a son, okay, a father, son, and husband. Okay, I am three in one. I can't separate from myself. I know as a husband, when I make a decision, that it's still the same decision I made as a son and the same decision I made as a father. Okay, it's one decision. So when the Holy Spirit is working in your life, He is so connected with God that it's like God doing a work in your life. Okay, the Holy Spirit knows without any hindrance what God is up to. He knows what God wants. He knows what God wants for your life. That's what His plan and purpose is. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that the human mind may not always understand the things of God or God's ways, okay, but the Holy Spirit does, because the Holy Spirit is with God. It's connected. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God does. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God." Okay, how many times have you thought, "Oh man, I just wish I knew what to do." Right? Guess what? God knows exactly what you're supposed to do. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what God wants you to do. And the Holy Spirit is in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can know what God wants you to do in that situation. Okay, the Holy Spirit has been given to you so that not only does God know and the Holy Spirit know, but so that you can know as well. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Okay, you can think the right thoughts, do the right things. Let me give you a couple examples. I knew this was going to go long today, so bear with me. Let me give you a couple of scriptural examples of the Holy Spirit. Okay, something that where He is doing something in somebody's life, right? That's the name of it. What does the Holy Spirit do? It's continued part two next week. I'll tell you that right now. But He is guiding people into the right place at the right time. It is those aha moments. It's like, wow, that couldn't have been planned out any better. Okay, those are the things that the Holy Spirit is doing. Let me give you an example. 8 days after Jesus was born, His earthly mother and father, Joseph and Mary, took Him to Jerusalem to present Him to God. It was part of the ritual, part of what they did. And a man named Simeon, following the promptings of the Holy Spirit, was at the right place at the right time. Let's read this. It's again in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. He said, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit," or you could say by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, "he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Simeon went into the temple on purpose at the time, not knowing anything about Jesus being there. All he knew is that the Holy Spirit had spoke to him and told him that he would see the Messiah before he died. So he lived his life in anticipation. The Spirit of God said, I'm going to see the Messiah. So every day he got up and said, Holy, is it today? Holy, is it today? What do you want me to do today, Holy Spirit? And he listened and he acknowledged and he followed the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And on that day, the Spirit said, it's time to go to the temple. Quick, go. And he goes to the temple, and that's the day that Jesus' parents were coming in. Okay, can you see how the Holy Spirit helped him to fulfill the calling or the will of God for his life? God's will was that he would see the Messiah before he died. He knew that. He had gotten that connected. He heard that from God. The Spirit spoke that to him. So then he lived every day in anticipation. Okay, that's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. He'll put you in the right place at the right time. He'll connect you with the people, the places, the things that need to happen in your life. You know, in the next couple weeks, I want to give you personal examples, testimonies from my life, things that God has done. But for now, I want you to fully know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you every day. Okay, he is wanting to get a message across. He is constantly wanting to lead you. He is leading you to do something. Okay? He is leading you not to do something. Okay? He is wanting you to go somewhere. Okay? He is wanting you to step out in faith. He is encouraging you and enticing you with the right thing to do. Okay? He told the Apostle Peter, nothing but a man's name that was in a neighboring city. It wasn't even some guy in the same city. And he told Peter to go to him, even though it was against the law for him to do that at that time. He told the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit did, he told the Apostle Paul and his comrades not to preach the gospel in a particular area at a particular time, but told them, go to a particular city. So they did that, and when they got there was a man there that says, you guys need to go here. So they went there and then preached the gospel, and it spread like wildfire. Okay, that is God moving, orchestrating, putting people in the right place at the right time so that things could happen. Okay, a lot of the instructions of the Holy Spirit that he gives to you may not always make sense in the natural. Your natural mind may have a tough time getting around it thinking, man, this I just don't know. It's just in the natural, it just doesn't make sense. But when he speaks to your spirit, you're going to feel like you need to do it anyway. You're going to feel like, you know, I still got peace about doing this. I think I'm supposed to do this. Okay, I heard this not too long ago about someone that was looking for a job, and it came down to it, they got more than one job offer. And then it became, so which job do I take? Okay, which direction do I go? Okay, and they came and talked to me about it and said, well, you know, this job has better benefits, it has better pay, this one, you know, it's just they seem to work with you better, but this one is closer to family and has this problem, this going for it and this going for it. And I said, you know what? You don't have to tell me any of that stuff. Here's what you need to do. Take all that you know about those two jobs, put it off. Get it out of your mind and ask God which one he wants you to take. And his spirit will speak to you about where to be. Because if you take the wrong job based on, oh, it had all these good things for it in the natural, you could be as miserable as you'll ever be because you're not where God wanted you to be. I don't care what the benefits are. I've taken jobs, I kid you not, to go from $75,000 a year down to minimum wage or a little bit over because God said to. And you know what God did? Promoted me right up through the ranks until I met that higher salary again. Okay, God will do that over and over and over when you're listening to him. It didn't make any sense in the natural. It didn't make any sense. Okay, I've told you this story about throwing a dart at a map to figure out where to go. Okay, that was totally, I don't recommend that all the time, but it was leaving it up to God. Okay, and when we got there, it was like, what do you mean? I was a supervisor. I had all these, this great job. I managed a whole bunch of stuff. And God said, I want you to go there and apply at this place, and they will give you a job. And guess what? Before I left the building, they offered me the job. Okay, I went and interviewed. They offered it right there. I was like, I'll take it, because that's where God said to go. And it was a fraction of what I had been making at the very bottom. And within 6 months, an opening came up of a supervisor one. Gary, do you want that? Sure. Take that. Within another 6 months, another job came open. Gary, do you want that? I wasn't even applying. They're asking if I wanted to take the next level up. That's what God does. That's listening to His Spirit. That's why it's more important to yield to His Holy Spirit than it is to look at all the natural, what looks right, what sounds right, what feels right. Okay? Go with the Spirit of God, you'll end up in the right place. You know, when you're born again, when you live in and walk according to the Spirit, what you do will not always make sense to the lost people in your life, especially the lost. But it also, even carnal Christians will struggle when you're living by the Spirit. They'll struggle. It just doesn't make sense to them what you're doing. But when you're listening and yielding to the Spirit, it's going to make sense to you. In John chapter 3, Jesus told us that the wind blows where it listeth, or where it wants to. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Okay, it is okay for you to do something that makes no sense to the people around you when it is God prompting you through His Holy Spirit to do it. It is going to turn out for the best in the end. God works all things together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll put you in the right place at the right time. Okay, even if people don't want to be around you anymore, even if people are going to persecute you or make fun of you, it's okay to do it. I have a feeling a lot of people gave Noah a lot of flack for building a boat in the middle of the dry land, right? But it was the right thing to do. He had heard what he was supposed to do and just went about doing it. The Spirit of God is a powerful, unseen force that is directly connected to God, and He's speaking to you about your life. Okay, speaking directly about your life and the life of the people around you. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. They don't make sense. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But when you live according to the Spirit, you will understand. It's okay if they don't understand, but you will. You know, wouldn't you like to know if there were lean times ahead? Wouldn't you like to know part of the future? We're going to get into this in the next couple weeks. What if the Spirit of God could tell you something about a coming event so that you could prepare for it ahead of time? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be helpful? Okay, He can. And He does through prophecy. You remember what I said earlier when Peter was explaining, and he said, these guys aren't drunk. This is what the prophet Joel said was coming when God poured out His Holy Spirit on mankind. Okay, in Acts chapter 11, and I'll show this to you and then we'll wrap it up. Acts chapter 11, verse 27 says, and in these days prophets came from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth or a famine throughout all the world, which then came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. The Holy Spirit spoke through one man, alerting the whole body of Christ, if they were listening, about a tough time that was coming on the earth. Those that were paying attention were not blindsided by it. They knew, had prepared mentally. You know, there's a whole lot to that, preparing for things mentally and spiritually to acknowledge, to be ready for things when they happen. You know, you might be thinking, yeah, but who's the prophet in my life that's going to come and speak about things that are coming? Who's the one that's going to come and share that kind of a warning with me about things that are on the horizon? Okay, you're going to find out as we go through this series on the Holy Spirit that one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost is the gift of prophecy. Okay, that He is using that today to speak to God's people about things that are happening. Okay, he empowers people to walk in the prophetic, to know things that they have no other way of knowing. We're going to talk in the next few weeks about the word of wisdom. Okay, God, somebody asks you for advice and you speak something to them that you have no way of knowing. Okay, it was the perfect answer. It was God's wisdom. We're going to talk about the gift of the word of knowledge. Okay, where God will show you something that you need to share with someone to encourage them. I've told you before about a gal that I went to church with in Laramie, and she had a son that was playing baseball for a Legion team, and he happened to be the youngest kid on that team. He just barely met the mark of being old enough to play, and she was so afraid for her son. She said, I just know he's a pitcher, and they're going to make fun of him. He's going to get eaten up. He can only throw, 80 miles an hour. They're all throwing 90, and I went to her, and I said, your son will be the star of that team. I didn't know that. I didn't know the situation. I had never even watched him play in my life. I said, God said, your son is going to be the star of that team. And guess what? That 12-year-old led them to the national championship and pitched in that game. Okay, and he was praised for it as the youngest kid to ever take a team that far. Okay, that stuff happens. That's a word of knowledge. Okay, God spoke to me something through His Spirit and said, you need to go and encourage this woman. And I did, and I told that woman. You know what she did? She broke down crying. Said, I can't believe God loves me so much that He would tell me that ahead of time. Then she could relax about it. Then it wasn't a fear. Now it's, let's just watch this play out. Let's watch what God is up to. Okay, the answer to your question about who might be that person to speak into your life is probably somebody sitting right next to you. It's probably somebody in your life that is walking already in that prophetic or is beginning to learn about it and yield themselves to the Holy Spirit to the point that they can give you those sorts of information. Okay, if what the prophet Joel spoke of included dreams and visions and prophecy, and that indeed is what Peter says, this is what's being poured out upon us, that that's what came through the Holy Spirit, then that spiritual gift of prophecy is as pertinent and available today as it ever was. Okay, I want to wrap this up for today, but there's a whole lot more about the Holy Spirit. There's so much more about what He does in our lives, and we're going to keep pressing into that for the next few weeks. But for now, let's pray that we see and acknowledge the Holy Spirit's work in our life. Okay, let's acknowledge then and invite Him into our situations. Invite His strength and power into our daily routines. Okay, invite His knowledge that He has into ourselves so that we can then know what God is up to. Let's pray for us to give Him credit, okay, for the things that He is doing in our life, where He is intervening, where He is stepping in between us and God on our behalf. Okay, Father God, we are praising You in the name of Jesus. We give You all the praise and the glory for Your word. I thank You, Father, Your word does put it into kind of a step-by-step thing here so that we can see what was poured out into our life through Your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that as we go through this week that we will acknowledge You, that we will look for opportunities where You are speaking to us, that You are showing us where to go and where not to go, what to do and what not to do, and that we acknowledge and give You the credit for it, that we praise You for it and exalt You as our Lord and our Savior, but as our guide, the one that reveals things that we need to know to us. Father, we trust You this morning. Take us out to be a little different than when we came in. Take us out to minister unto the people around us in the way that You want to do specifically through us individually. Lord, we praise You for these things and thank You for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen.